Let's pray for just a moment before we get started. Father, we thank you for this time that we have in your presence this morning. Lord, your doors of your heart are always open. Your arms are wide open. And Father, today as we approach this message and as we prepare our hearts to receive from your voice, not from mine, this is not my message, it's yours. And Father, we just yield ourselves to you today to hear the voice of your Spirit as you speak to us in our own hearts. Father, I thank you that you will use me today to speak your heart. That's all I ask. I ask you, Father, for the anointing to speak your words. And I ask you, Father, for our ears to be open to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I'd like to say, Sister Virginia, thank you for your message last week. It was right on target. It was right on target. You know, we need to trust God more today in this world than we ever have before. Yeah. Well, and I mentioned this before years ago and several times, but most people don't realize that trust has to be granted. You can never earn trust. It has to be granted. Give you an example. If you're in a relationship or something and you're wanting the partner to trust you, and you go to them and they tell you what do you have to do to meet their needs, meet their requirements, and you do all of that, and you've done everything you could possibly do, whether it's a business relationship or whether it's a relationship just between a husband and wife or friends or whatever it may be. You go to them after you've accomplished everything, and they know you have. And you say, well, will you trust me now? What do they normally say? Well, I don't know. Let me think about it. Why did they say it that way? You've done everything. You can earn favor. You can position yourself for favor. But you cannot ever earn trust. Trust is always granted. We don't realize that God has already granted his trust. He done that before anybody was ever trustworthy. He granted us his trust. He granted Adam and Eve his trust. But they failed that trust. They failed the commandments. Well, he's trusted us too. He trusted the disciples just before the cross to love one another. That was the commandment. Because if they did not love one another, they could never do what God had put them in place for. He was leaving. God could not do it for them. They had to love one another. But then he qualified it and he said, just as I have loved you. So he granted them his trust when he went to that cross, because if they were not trustworthy and they did not grant him their trust, the church would have never existed. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ would have been a resurrection, and he would have been seated at the right hand of the Father, but there would have been no church, no witness in the earth. You know, that's scary when you think about that. But praise God, they were trustworthy. They granted their trust to the Father. You know, we're living in a very dark world right now, and most people will say, well, it's always been dark, Brother Michael. It has always been dark, but not to the degree that it is now. You know, God never meant this world to be dark. God is what? Light. And wherever he is light. What was Adam and Eve's assignment? They were to bring light. They were to take dominion over a dark world. That was their assignment. I don't know if they accomplished very much, but I know they didn't accomplish their assignment. Because of Adam's sin, darkness was allowed to reign. Darkness was not supposed to reign. Adam and Eve was supposed to reign. But because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, because of that, darkness was allowed to reign. Darkness was here because Satan was here, but it was not supposed to reign. So we need to remember that. Adam, with the encouragement of Eve, ate from the fruit of the knowledge of the good, of good and evil, disobeying God and yielding to Satan's deception. Deception has always been Satan's tool. Ever since that moment, darkness has been allowed to reign in this world. But God. I love but God. But God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. John 3:16, the Amplified Classic. Praise God. Praise God, he didn't leave us in the dark. The true light came. The true light came, praise God. Jesus has come. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me, whoever believes in me, get that? Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. God made a way for us not to abide or to live in darkness, even though darkness is all around us. We're not supposed to live there. Praise God. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We have to follow him. That means be where he is, go where he goes, do what he does, say what he says. He wants this so much that he died on that cross, rose from the dead, sent the precious Holy Spirit to dwell in each of us so that we could not only live in light, but be light. Amen. We're a light in a dark world, praise God. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan and all of the demons of hell put together cannot keep you from coming into the light. You know, that's good news for somebody. Amen. Nothing can keep us from the light. No matter what you are, I want to say that differently. No matter who you are, or no matter where you are, no matter what you have done or think you have done, no matter how far away from God you are or think you are, no matter how deep in darkness you are or think you are, you can still choose Jesus. You can still choose Jesus. You can move from darkness to light by your own choice. God himself gave mankind the right to choose. He gave us the right even before darkness. He gave us the right. That was the problem Adam had. He had the right to choose, and he chose to obey deception. His choice put us here. His choice put us here. And everyone that followed him all entered into this world in sin. But God made a way. With choice, man fell. With choice, man can move back. But you have to be born again. You can't get there any other way. God will not, again I say, God will not reject anyone who comes to him. He will not. That's what Jesus said in John 6:37. All whom my Father gives in trust to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never reject one of them who comes to me. John 6:37, that's the Amplified Classic. I will never, no, never. That is good news. That's good news. I know most of us are here are born again. Praise God, but somebody's going to hear this is not. And maybe you have been born again, but you're struggling. Your little old outboard motor is going putt, 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 putt. You know, you don't quite have enough putts to get you through. But you've been falling and slipping and everything else around. Maybe today is a day you need to remember what has been done for you. Remember for what's been done for us. God did not reject you, and he won't reject anyone else. Hallelujah. That's good news to me, I know. You know, your debt, no matter what it is, no matter how great it is, it has already been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. The whole world, everyone that has ever existed, everyone that is existing, everyone that ever will exist, their debt is paid 100% in full. Cash the check. Go receive what he's done. You have to do that. He's paid the bill, praise God. Come to the one who loves you. Come on into the light. Come into the light. It's bright. You know one thing about light? I was thinking about light some time back. And you know, well, actually, I was telling somebody that at a Brothers in Christ meeting. And Brother Bruner was saying, you know, we are the light of the world. And I said, well, there's one characteristic about light. It never struggles where it goes. It just is. It is. What struggles? Darkness struggles. It struggles because it can't stay there. Light is just light. And what are we? Jesus said, not only is he the light of the world, but he said, we are the light of the world. The light lives in us. We don't have to struggle with darkness. We're not supposed to struggle with sin. We're not supposed to struggle with darkness. We're supposed to be in the Word. We're supposed to be loving our Father, positioning ourselves so that he can move in and through us. And wherever we go, people see a light. Jerry Savelle, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a minister who joined with Kenneth Copeland. He gives a testimony that he was in a mall, big mall, and he didn't want to shop with his wife because she was doing dresses. So he just wandered about while she was doing her thing. And this lady came and come up to him and said, would you pray for me? She said, I was praying last night, and she said, God told me to go to the mall and follow the light. And she said, whenever I got here, I saw this light go here and went in the store and then it come out and it went over there and then it stopped with you. And she said, if you pray for me, I'll be healed. And she was. That's a good example. He didn't know he was doing anything other than walking around. But that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be light in this dark world. And do you know if we struggle with being that light, we cannot be that light. Because light is at rest. And the only time we can be the light of the world is when we're at rest in him. When we allow the Holy Spirit to be who he really is in us. You know, there's a heart cry in God. That's what I titled this because that's what the Lord showed me. The Lord has a cry coming from his heart. That heart cry of God to all mankind, past, present, and future. You know what it is? Come to me. Come to me, please come to me. He came as far as he could go, but now the cry of his heart is, come to me. Come to me. The heart cry from the depths of God's loving heart has been a continuous heart cry for thousands of years. And it will continue to be the heart cry throughout the end of the age until Jesus comes back. That heart cry started in the Garden of Eden. That's where it started at. You can hear this cry from the heart of God towards man from the very first moments after that fall. It started right there. Listen to the heart cry of God as we read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. So when the woman, now I know there's more to this. I'm taking time, I'm starting in verse 6. But there, Satan's been deceiving. He's been practicing deception. So he's deceived Eve. And you know who was standing right beside him, right beside her? He heard the whole thing. Adam was there, listening. Now, he didn't have to listen to that, but he did, because his wife was listening. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He didn't have to, but he did. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Can you see that? Can you see that? How long had God and Adam and Eve been walking together, sharing heart to heart, knowing the depths of each other's thoughts? God sharing tidbits of information with Adam here and his wife, and then even before Eve existed, they're just walking, probably arm in arm, loving one another, knowing the depths of each other. That, how long did that take place? We don't know and have no way of knowing how long they did that. But suddenly, they're hiding themselves. Something happened here. The glory departed. Yes, they were naked. The glory was not there anymore. Their relationship was not there anymore. So they hid. But then it says in verse 9, he says, then the Lord God called to Adam, and he said to him, where are you? Yeah, I just hear the love and the compassion coming from God's heart when he says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? I love you. Michael, where are you? I love you. Can you hear your own cry, the heart cry to you? I hear it every time I hear that song. I heard that song years and years and years ago in the 80s, and it just marked my spirit. Every time I hear those words, Adam, where are you? I hear that song, and I can't help but cry in the middle of it. Because I actually hear that cry. It wasn't that God did not know where Adam and Eve were. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows exactly where everyone is, past, present, and future. He knows. He's omnipresent. There's nothing that misses his sight or his... He knew where they were physically. Why was he asking the question then? Adam! Where are you? No longer connected to my heart. We're not one anymore. Where are you? What happened? And that heart cry has been echoing through the ages. That's why Jesus came, because of that heart cry. That heart cry, Jesus had it too. That's why he came. The Holy Spirit has the same cry. He hasn't been doing anything other than that. That just rattles my timbers every time I hear it. Do you hear him calling your name? He has been since before you existed. And he will continue to do so throughout all the ages yet to come. Adam and Eve were no longer in his heart. He knows. He knows everyone that's supposed to be part of his heart. You are supposed to be part of his heart. You were created that way. You existed in God's heart before time began. His compassion and love for you existed before anything existed. That's why he created it and put Adam and Eve here. Don't you know the heartache that was in God's heart? I don't know. I can't imagine how deep that hurt God. Because it's not like us. We are not the being love. God is. He is love. So he loves to the nth degree, to the fullness of possibility of love. He is. And it keeps expanding further and further and further. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So when that hurt, when man, his object of his love, chose to go another way. Just think of the hurt that is there. There's a, mother likes to say, there's a man-shaped hole in God's heart. There is. Whoever is not, one minister said, the saddest day that Jesus's life is yet to come. In the saddest day for him is when he'll have to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's the saddest day. And God will wipe those tears away. I pray that he doesn't say that to you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Ever since that very moment of Adam and Eve's fall, the heart cry from God has been coming to me. Coming to me. I'll get this separated in. Coming to me. This heart cry from God to the lost and the unsaved. Come to me. But you know, that heart cry is not just for the lost. That heart cry is also for all that know him as Lord. I believe that this heart cry, come unto me, is the major problem with the world today. For the saved and the unsaved. We don't come to him. He didn't limit that call to just to the lost. We think he did. We like to think he did, and we like to think we accomplished something when we come to him, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But it's not over with yet. We need to come to him in every area of life. We like to white-knuckle our way through life and prove that we're a man. You know, the strongest, most manly man there is one who will yield his life to Jesus. There is no stronger man than that. You know, it takes guts, it takes strength, it takes power to love. It's not something that's simple. You can't just go out and choose to do it. It takes someone that's got some power inside him to love. And that power is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, the power to do that is inside you. But even though it's inside you, you have to choose. God's not going to make you choose anything. You get born again and come to him, and you can still live a sloppy, no good life right out there in the middle of darkness. You can do that. That's your choice, and he'll back up what you do. But that's not what his heart is. He's calling you, coming to me, coming to me. That little time you have when your car broke down and you can't figure out what's wrong with it, coming to me. I can't tell you how many times I've been working on things in my life, and I had to come to him. I should have started there. And then it would have been a lot simpler. Because he would have granted me the revelation knowledge I needed, but I didn't do that. I tried to be a man. And I wasn't. The most manly man in this world today that thinks they're a man, they're really a very, very wimp. They're a wimp. Next to that crippled up old person that's in that bed and can't get out, but he loves Jesus. That's a man. That's a man that has full of power. He can change the world from that bed. But you can't change the world in all your manliness without him. Somewhere along the line, you're going to fail. And you'll fail miserably when you do. And then I pray that you come to him. Because he is the only way. There is no other way. He is the way. Can you hear the heart cry of God? And are you answering that heart cry? Two questions there. You can hear it, but not answer it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we hear this, and every time I read it, it just echoes in my spirit because I can hear. We read it little, coming to me, all you who labor. We read it in a little wimpy little thing. But that's not what he was doing there. He was standing up and shouting. He was wanting these people to come to Him. Come to me all. You got to stop there. In my notes here, I got that in red because the word all leaves nobody out. I don't care what you've done, who you are, where you've been. I don't care how much you've rejected Him and went your own way. He said all. Notice all of what? Now, all that were saved, all that's lost. He didn't say coming to me all that's lost. Although He implied that, all includes those that are lost. What does He say? Come to me, all you who labor. Have you ever labored? Now, you can labor and not be working hard. You can labor in your mind and struggle with things, struggle with all kinds of different things and be a labor. Labor with past hurts, labor with the future, labor with money, labor with all these things. You can labor with that. But He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. Have you ever been overburdened? I have. I've been out there where I thought I was the only one in the world that ever knew how I felt. Nobody cared. They do care. But they can't help me, for one, if they don't know I'm hurting. And another thing is, God's always there. He knows the secrets of your heart. He knows the intimate places where only you know. He knows it. And you, love is here. Love wants to help. There's an intensity in God's heart to say, come to me. Don't go through that alone. That's what God's saying. He's saying that to all of us. I really sincerely think born again, faith-filled, tongue-talking Christians don't do that. It doesn't matter if it's a parking place, if it's a can of soup missing, whatever it is, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, come unto Him. Talk to Him throughout your day. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have no problem just standing there walking through the Walmart. Well, you know what happened to me, and nobody around. You know what they're doing? They're talking on this dumb little thing in their ear with the microphone on, connected to their phone. I hate that. At least take the phone out and put it on your ear. You know, but you think, you want to answer them and say, can I help you? Yes. And they just keep on talking. They're not talking to you. You know, we have no problem in big crowds of talking that way and everybody thinking you're a fool. Why don't we do the same thing to God? You know, He's always on the line. His line's always open. He's ready to hear. You're standing there talking in this thing about your problems and issues. Turn it off. Start talking to God. Or talk with the guy and together pray. But do something other than talking that piece in your ear. You know, she's always talking to her phone. I think she's talking to me. You know, I said, what? You know, but I don't do that. I got the phone in my ear. Amen. Stick it up, or what's for? But come unto me all, leaving no one out. All of you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. But He cannot cause you to rest unless you come. He's ready. What are you waiting for? Why are you struggling and working your way through these things when you don't have to? And you can have such fun with Jesus. Right in the middle of that big problem you have, you're walking through life laughing at this thing, and the world don't understand you. How can you laugh in the middle of that? I can laugh in the middle of that because Jesus is laughing at it. He's telling the devil, He says, you said what? In Psalms it talks about, in Psalms 37, it talks about how Jesus will laugh at the devil and at his problems. I can see Him laughing at the devil when he's trying to come against us if we will walk with Him. There's that hedge that goes about us. We're going to have to answer the problems. They're going to be there, but they're not going to be as big for one thing. They're not going to last as long, and you're going to have the answer right in the middle of it. Talk to Him. Practice talking to Him through the supermarket as you're walking down through the road. They may lock you up, but big deal. You know, you can bring back the cell phone thing. Well, I saw you a while ago talking. There wasn't nobody around. Who were you talking to? Well, I'm talking to the guy on the phone. Well, so am I. I'm talking to Jesus. He's on his throne and he's listening. You want me to show you how? I can connect you. No problem. And there's no charge. No phone bill. Praise God. Then it says, I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, emotions, and will. If you're having trouble with your mind and issues about the way you think and the way you do things, come to him. He says he will, and you know, will or shall are absolutes. You know, you can't get around. He said he will. He shall. I will. Absolute. Ease and relieve and refresh your soul, your mind, emotions, and will. Take my yoke upon you. Now there's a key. If you don't take his yoke upon you, he can't do that, even though he wants to. Take. That means receive. What's a yoke? A yoke is hook two people together. They're designed to fit the yoke or the oxen, the strong one with a weak one. His yoke is designed to carry a heavy load. Mine, a weak load. But we're pulling together. What's the other nice thing about a yoke? Is wherever he goes, you go. Whatever you do, he does, or he won't go there. Then you're out of the yoke. What else is it? When he says, take my yoke upon you, he's talking about his way of life. His way of doing things. His ways. That's what he's talking about. Take my ways upon you. Walk in my ways. What is his ways? The love walk. He doesn't do anything out of love. So, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, you can take the yoke up on him, but not learn of him. You have to be in the Word, studying him, talking to him, listening to him, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring up revelation to you as you go through your day. It's a wonderful life walking with Jesus. It's a wonderful life because he's never anywhere else. He's everywhere, but he's in me, talking to me, my own personal companion and friend, wherever I go and whatever I do. That's what he wants to do. That's that heart cry of God to do that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. That mind is always going. Do this, do that, and it's wrong. Do this, do that. But he says it will bring rest to your mind. Because he will bring that rest right in the middle of the worst storm of your life. Hallelujah. Verse 30, for my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. He's not going to put on you a burden you can carry. And whenever you get a little bit worn out, he's going to take the load for you. But we're in this together. That's why the yoke is there. Isaiah 55, verse 1. And you find this same thing. It's neat because, to me, Old Testament, you find it in Isaiah 55. New Testament, you find it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which we just read. And you find it again in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. We're going to look at Isaiah 55. It's the same call. Come to me. All through the whole entire Bible, the same call. Ho! Or hey! Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Amplified Classic says, without money, without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. I love that. That's the whole thing. That's what he's calling you to. He's not calling you to come and bring this big bunch of money or this all your fancy things that you've done with your life and all of the glory you think you've heaped on yourself. He's not asking for that. All he's asking to pay the whole thing is self-surrender, submit and consent, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Do you accept the blessing? He said, come, are you willing to accept? You know, if you don't accept, you can come all you want to, but you're not accepting it. It doesn't do you any good. You've got to conform to it. Now verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul, mind, emotions, and will, delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Then the Amplified says, submit and consent to the divine will, where it says, incline your ear. What's the difference? There's a big difference between submitting and consenting. I like the way the Amplified puts those things in there. What he's saying, he says, incline your ear. One, he's saying, listen to it. Listen to it. But he's also saying, submit to it. Submit to my will. Submit to his will. Don't listen to it if you're not going to submit. But he wants you to submit. Well, you can submit to something because you're beaten, forced, knocked down, and coerced into submitting to something. Or you can consent and submit. Consent means, I want to do this. Lord, I love you. I want to submit to your will. I love that, the way the Amplified puts it, because there's a big difference in the two. You're going to submit to Satan and his ways, or to God and his ways. You're going to submit to one or the other. The difference is, Satan will force you to submit because you're yielding to him. But you don't have to. God is asking you to submit and consent to him, and he'll take care of the devil. You can go free anytime you want to, but you have to want to. And then you have to put your feet to your faith and come unto him. But he takes care of it. No matter what you are going through in life, you do not have to go through it alone. You do not have to struggle through the storms of life alone. That's what the Lord is my shepherd is all about. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're on the valley of the shadow of death on your own, you better run. But he says, walk. I walk because of my shepherd. You don't have to run from the devil. He runs from you if you'll stand your ground. Number one, he can't stand the light. Why? Because he's darkness. The other thing he cannot stand is love. He cannot abide where there's love. He can't do it. Perfect love casts out fear. That's why it's so important that we walk the love walk, because he that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. 1 John 5:18. He touches him not. Why? Because he can't. Love is the most powerful thing that ever existed, because God is love. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through in life, you don't have to go through it alone. God not only has a heart cry, he hears the cry of your heart. Isn't that nice? Isn't that neat? That's something to stomp about. God hears the cry of your heart. Even if you don't mention it, he knows it. But what are you going to do about your heart cry? If that's all you do, you're going to be one of the most miserable people that ever existed. But if you have a heart cry and you come to him, he answers that heart cry because you've come to him. Hallelujah. Romans 10:13. For whoever, now again, there's no, it doesn't say the saved, it doesn't say the lost. It says whoever. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there's numerous testimonies of people in dire circumstances that all they had time for was Jesus. They didn't have time for anything else. One was an airline crash where the whole thing was on fire and he couldn't pray. He's right in the middle of it and the whole thing was on fire and he just said, Jesus! And he wound up standing on the outside of the thing looking at it. Been testimonies of car wrecks that way. Jesus! It doesn't just mean being saved from eternal damnation. It means being saved. There are times when you don't have time to pray. That's all you need. Because when you said Jesus, you said it all. You said it all, praise God. Hebrews 2:13, for because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run. I like that. He is able to immediately run to the cry, assist, relieve those who are being tempted, tested, and tried, and who are therefore being exposed to suffering. He is able to immediately run when you say, Jesus! When you call upon the name in because you want to, he comes. He's not going to hold back. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain and find grace to help in a time of need. How do you come? Boldly. If you're born again, you have a right there. You walk right in. I mean, with reverence, because it's his throne room. But there's nothing supposed to keep you out of there. He has invited you in there. The Amplified says, so that you will have help just when you need it. I like that. You know, there's times when I don't have anything else and I need help just when I need it. Answer God's heart cry to you. That's what this is all about. Not just the heart cry of God to us, but the heart cry of us towards him. Answer that heart cry from God. You know, he has sent you and all of mankind an open invitation. Have you ever got an invitation to something? It's open. There's no conditions. Come. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11:28. Again, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. What are you waiting for? Note that the word says that he will cause you to rest if you come. No matter how small or great the problem, come to the Lord first. He deeply desires for you to come. Don't try to do it on your own. Let him bring revelation to you. Let him show you the way before you get so deep in there you tend to lose heart and grow weary. Let him, no matter how small it is, no matter what it is, come to him. Dig into his word. That's where his answer is. Fellowship with him in his living word and allow him to bring up revelation when you need it. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will never leave you. He will never leave you if you know him. He has no right to be with you if you have not invited him in. If you've not come to him and received him as your Lord and Savior, he can't do much other than to try to get you to come. He has to be licensed by you. That's the power of choice. You have to want him to be your Lord and Savior. Then he comes. It's not a formula. Hebrews 13:5a. I love this one, and this one I say it every day. I declare it because I want to know this. I want my spirit in this. He, God himself, has said. Now, that qualifies it. So I would suggest, if God himself has said it, I suggest that you incline your ears to it. God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. Hallelujah. You hear that? He means it, the Amplified puts it three times to get intensity. That's the intensity in what God's saying here. If you are my child, I will never leave you. Do you believe that? I do. Yeah. I believe that. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. I just love that. Verse 6, so, or because of that, because of what God just said, I say, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That's got to be the attitude that we have as we walk through this life. We are the light. Our attitude should be, what can man do to me? What difference does it make? If he kills me, so what? I'm with my Father. And God will use the testimony. Our loving Heavenly Father loves you. And you need to know that. He will never let go of your hand. He will never let go of your hand. As long as you have his hand in yours, your hand in his. God has opened the door of his heart to all of mankind, past, present, and future. He has already made provision for all of us through the blood of Jesus and his living word. The price has already been paid in full. Now it's up to us. The decision is ours. Will you respond to the heart cry of God calling out to you? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. He will never let go of your hand. Father, we thank you for this message today from your heart to ours. Father, we receive the heart cry of your heart to us this morning. We thank you, Father, that as we go through our daily life from this moment forward, we'll hear that cry, come unto me. And Father, we'll instantly respond. We set our love upon you, Lord. Not just now, but for all eternity, we choose to set our love upon you. You know each one here today and every one that will hear this message in the future. We thank you, Father, that you will call them. And you'll never, ever leave them. There are people here with us today that are hurting in some way or another. They need to hear your voice. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you move upon them and cause them to come to you. No matter what it is, to come to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.